It's a fact of Hollywood life that the movie industry is dominated by men. Male stars make more money, male executives make more decisions, and the vast majority of films are about what men do or think or blow up. But this weekend, Bob Mondello is focusing on two movies that do not fit that pattern, radically different films that he says have surprisingly similar heroines.
This is the 75th year of the Hunger Games.
When it comes to dystopian fiction, there aren't a lot of characters I'd rather have on my side than Katniss Everdeen. This 17-year-old warrior in Catching Fire, part two of a four-part Hunger Games trilogy, if you can get your head around that, may wear more eyeshadow than Cleopatra this time, but that doesn't mean she's not fierce.
No!
Sent to do battle in the life-and-death TV ritual her totalitarian society uses to subjugate its citizens, she is an archer who can take out a saber-toothed baboon at 50 paces, and a strategist who you just know will get the better of the men bent on tormenting her, notably Donald Sutherland's evil dictator and his new strategist, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Katniss Everdeen is a symbol. We don't have to destroy her, just her image. Show them that she is one of us now. Let them rally behind that. They're gonna hate her so much, they might just kill her for you.
Where the first Hunger Games movie was a jittery, handheld camera affair, Catching Fire has a new director and plenty of money for special effects. Taking in $700 million will do that for a series. Being a sequel, it starts in the middle without much exposition, though there's still an hour of flaming costume fittings and chariot parades before Jennifer Lawrence's Katniss swings into action in the arena. Personally, I'll be happier when she ditches the eyeshadow for the revolution, but that's the third Hunger Games book, not the second. The movie Philomena, which is based on a true story from Ireland's recent past, has a different brand of dystopia at its center, but it's also about a strong heroine battling a cruel and dictatorial regime. Before we're introduced to her, we meet the man who wrote a book about her, Martin Sixsmith, a journalist turned British government spokesman who had fallen on hard times in 2004.
Your wife tells me you think you're mildly depressed.
Well, I got the sack. I'm unemployed.
Yes, but it wasn't your fault, was it?
That's why I'm depressed.
Once the BBC's Man in Moscow, Sixsmith has been reduced to scrounging at cocktail parties for a way back into journalism, mostly hearing story ideas he immediately resists.
I know this woman. She had a baby when she was a teenager, and she's kept it secret for 50 years.
And what you're talking about would be what they call a human interest story, and that's... I don't do those.
Usually. This story, though, sticks with him. An unmarried Irish teenager sent by her embarrassed Catholic family to have her baby in a convent, forced to stay there as slave labor, her child stolen from her, the nuns stonewalling her questions about him for decades. Sixsmith senses an expose and agrees to meet this woman wronged, then discovers they're on slightly different wavelengths.
So, Philomena, how are you?
I had a hip replacement last year, Martin.
Right.
It's much better than the bone one I had before.
Yes.
And it's titanium, so it won't rust.
Oh, it's a good job. Otherwise, I'd have to oil you like the Tin Man.
Is that right?
No, I mean, you know, like the Wizard of Oz.
So there they are, humor-challenged working-class granny yearning for her long-lost son, and snarky upper-class writer yearning for career redemption, matched recovery stories. How's that for human interest? Director Stephen Frears isn't about to let the Irish Church off the hook for this monstrous chapter in its history. In flashbacks, he pictures the young Philomena as a sort of proto-Katniss doing battle with a tyranny of nuns, her faith versus their piety. This rebel will grow up to be Judi Dench's buoyant chatterbox of an older Philomena, which is a testament to faith, but does exasperate Steve Coogan's Martin.
You told four people today that they were one in a million. What are the chances of that?
Still, he discovers there's steel in her, too, and that allows a story that might have been mined purely for tears and anger to inspire both laughter and a startling degree of forgiveness. I'm Bob Mondello.